Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Look, I want to start with a passage from Philippians. Philippians was a letter written to the church in Philippi from the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. And I thought that we'd be able to kind of relate to Paul at the moment in this season. I mean, not that we're locked up in jail, but in this season of restriction and isolation and confinement, I believe we can learn something from the experience of the Apostle Paul. So I want to read from Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. And he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Verse 11, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, I don't know about you, but in this season, I've got a few reasons to be discontent. I'm not liking this locked up business, feeling like a tiger trapped in the cage. I like to be free. I like to do what I want when I want. I like to come and go. And reality is, in all seriousness, is that everything's been affected in this time of corona craziness. Every area of our lives have been impacted. For you, maybe your business, you know, your work, you could possibly have lost a job. You know, your finances are being affected. You could have health concerns, mental health concerns, physical health concerns for yourself or for members of your family. Maybe, like me, you can't travel to do what you want to do. And, you know, I'm not liking the borders being closed within Australia, to be honest. My mother and my family live in Western Australia. Here I am in Sydney on the east coast of Australia, and I can't just readily go. You know, I'm discontent about that. And those of you with elderly parents, you might have been able to visit them. You know, there's lots of legitimate reasons in this season to be discontent. And the Apostle Paul had a lot of reasons to be discontent as well. There he was in prison for no other reason than preaching the gospel. But he says that I've learned to be content. I'm like, what? You're in jail being mistreated, experiencing the injustices of that confinement. And you say, Paul, and incidentally, the book of Philippians is the book of joy. He says, I've learned to be content. Now, this is the thing with Paul, is that his contentment was not attached to his condition. And I believe this is the word of the Lord to us in this season. This is the word of the Lord to you, that we would learn to be content, that our contentment would not be attached to our condition. Paul's contentment wasn't situational. His contentment was consistent. Yeah, I want to ask you a question today. Do you have a fear of contentment? Do you have a fear of contentment? I'm asking you that because I realized that I did. A real fear of contentment because I thought, you know, if I'm happy and content with this, then I'm not going to get that. You know, if I'm content with what I have, I'm not going to get more. If I'm content with just the way things are, then they're not going to change. And maybe you know what I'm talking about. And you have had a fear or have a fear of contentment too. And you're afraid that if I'm content with this, I'm going to be stuck with it. That this is as good as it gets and I've just got to learn to live with it. But today I want you to know that contentment does not actually act as a ceiling to your growth. In actual fact, it facilitates it. Listen to this. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, Paul says, but godliness actually is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Godliness is a source of great gain. Great gain. That means increase. That means improvement, breakthrough, addition. That it comes when accompanied by contentment. You know, I have a concern that in recent times we, the church, have got caught up in a constant quest for more, and in some ways more has become our enemy. You know, we're striving and we're yearning towards increase and the next level and the new level, and what it's done inadvertently is that it's bred, I believe, a level of discontentment that has been constant. Many Christians, maybe you can relate to this, you know, just you love God and you have faith towards God, but there's just this thing, this undercurrent of discontentment. Like, I'm believing for more and nothing is changing. I'm believing for increase and yet we're just still here at the same level. And as a result, you're unhappy, and as a result, you know, you're frustrated. You know, this may surprise some of you, but I actually studied Shakespeare at university. I have a Bachelor of Arts in English. I was planning to be an English literature teacher. I did one teaching prac and I thought, this ain't for me. But I still love literature, and one of the works I studied at university was Richard III. It's one of Shakespeare's historical dramas. And the opening line of Richard III says this: "Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by the son of York." I should do that a bit better. I'm going to redo that. "Now is this winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this son of York." Impressed? Anyway, it's one thing to have a winter of discontent, but when you're living your summer, your autumn, your spring and your summer discontented, Houston, we have a problem. And the reality is that many of us live and have been living our lives discontented. And God wants us to grow. He wants us to gain. He wants us to get the breakthrough. But contentment isn't the enemy of that. It's actually a means to that. And in this season, I believe God is doing a reset. You may have heard that. Many prophetic voices have been declaring that this is a season of reset, of reboot, of recalibration. And I actually had a vision of these great defibrillators. You know what I'm talking about. They're those, they're the things that paramedics and, you know, doctors use on patients when they've gone into cardiac arrest. And, you know, they boom, onto the patient's chest in order to bring the heart back into rhythm. It's when the heart goes out of rhythm and they use a boom, boom defibrillators. And I believe God has brought down his defibrillators on his church in this season. Bam! And he's bringing us into rhythm and alignment with him, because I think we got out of rhythm. And I think this is one of the area of contentment, the area of wanting continually to get more, and then feeling discouraged and frustrated. And you know, I believe there are new levels. Hear me now. I believe there are new levels and there are next levels, but we were never meant to strive for them. And I believe God wants to set us free from rhythms that aren't serving us, from mindsets, from paradigms, from things that are working against us instead of working for us, where we have been out of alignment with the Spirit of God. And I pray right now for you, everyone listening, that the illumination of the Holy Spirit would come, and that the Lord would open your eyes personally to see and identify where you have been out of rhythm in your life, out of rhythm with the Spirit of God. Many of us have been suffering with what I call next level fatigue, and that continual striving to get somewhere where we're not, and we're not enjoying where we currently are. And it's like God just went, stop, stop. And it's time to take stock. It's time to identify areas of our life that is out of rhythm. Paul said he was able to be content. Able to be content, this man in a prison. And so I ask the question, how? How were you able to be content, Paul? Let me reread Philippians 4, verses 12 to 13. He said, I have learned the secret of being content. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So let me note two things. Firstly, he'd learned the secret. He'd learned it. It's acquired knowledge. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's not like we just suddenly wake up and I'm content. And I always say that the first step to change is awareness. So if you're aware that you're just constantly wrestling with frustration and unhappiness and discontentment, just with your lot, and that your mood rises and falls on the condition of your circumstances, you know, we are called to live in a higher way. We are, in actual fact, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And I think to live a life of contentment is pretty heavenly. But there's a secret, and God wants to reveal the secret to each and every one of us personally. The secret to being content. And will you be a learner today? Will you be a learner with the Apostle Paul? Will you be a learner with me? I want to learn. I'm not saying I've made it. Oh, I tell you what, if there's someone who's had a master's degree in discontentment, it's been Vicki Simpson, trust me. But there is a secret to being content that we can learn, that we can acquire through revelation. The Holy Spirit wants to alert us to the power of contentment. Second point is this. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So it's a supernatural, people. To live in divine contentment, especially now in 2020, in the midst of corona crisis and all these, you can't do this and you can't do that, in the midst of, you know, that's not going to happen, and your plans and your calendar are all upside down, and you know, the reality is this contentment is spiritual, it's supernatural, and we gain access to it through God himself. So that's good news. It's not something that we cultivate. It's not something we have to work to make or produce. No, Paul said, I can do this. I can be content through the strength God gives me. Do you have the courage to ask God for the strength to have contentment? Have you got the courage to ask God, God, give me strength so I can be content? I'm going to pray into that before we close today. You know, in 2012, let me just share a story. In 2012, I was struck by a virus, not COVID-19. Clearly, 2012. I don't know if it was COVID 2012. I don't know, but I got a virus, and it affected me in so many ways. It affected my movement. It affected me neurologically. Initially, they thought I had like a sudden onset of multiple sclerosis or something, because my vision was affected and my legs were all wobbly. And it turned out to have been a virus that inflamed my brainstem. And, you know, it was a heck of a time, let me just be honest. And I remember it came on so suddenly that when I would wake up in the morning after, you know, that initial onset, and it took, incidentally, about 8 months to recover from. But each morning I wondered, am I going to wake up? I really would go to bed at night wondering, am I going to wake up? I remember one morning waking up, and I was just so relieved and so grateful I was alive. And I walked down. I had to literally balance along our hallway because I didn't have the balance or the strength to hold myself up, and I leant on the wall, just went down the hallway, sat in the lounge room. And my mind went back to when I first surrendered my life to God, my mind went back to Christmas Day 1980, and I was a teenager, went to church Christmas Day, just took myself to a church I'd never been to before, and on that day, I heard a message that Jesus had come to give me life and give it to me more abundantly. Now, I was 19 years old, and abundant life, man, that sounded like an offer too good to refuse. But I never, ever associated Jesus with abundant life. I mean, I'd grown up Catholic Italian girl, Aussie Italian, and I would see Jesus on the cross every day of my school education. And I had never, ever associated him with life. I'd never associated him with what I was looking for. And I would have said I was looking for a cause, I was looking for, you know, the meaning of life. But when I heard that word preached, and it wasn't just what I heard that day, it's what I felt. I mean, there was atmosphere, there was something there. And I remember as I left church that day, and the pastor shook my hand, wished me a Merry Christmas, and I burst into tears. I burst into tears. He asked me this question. He said, "Have you given your life to Jesus? Or have you asked Jesus into your heart?" Or something like that. Given your life to Christ. I've got to be honest, I didn't understand the question. I thought, well, I've been christened, first Holy Communion, confirmed, three times that I know of. So I said to the pastor, well, I think so. I think so. A clever pastor, if you think so and don't know so, probably haven't so. And what he did, he led me there at the doorstep of the church in a prayer where I simply, my understanding was I was just surrendering. I was just opening up my heart to God and saying, you know what? I'm feeling something here today. I've heard something here today. And if that's you, if you're real, here I am. I want in. Now, when you give your life to Jesus, I know not everyone experiences something. It's not about a feeling. But for me, I did feel something. And for me, what it did was it immediately just lifted this weight off me. I remember leaving the church and skipped out of there like a spring lamb. And you know, I was singing songs, driving home that I'd heard for the first time. But sitting there now, 2012, like years later, 32 years later, sitting in my lounge, and I remembered that moment. And I remembered that was before I'd heard anything about healing, that Jesus could heal. Never heard anything about prosperity. I'd never heard anything about prophecy or promises, nothing. When I received Jesus, I felt like I'd hit the jackpot. I thought, this is what I've been looking for. I had no expectation of anything else beyond that moment, and I was full of joy. And yet here I was. And 32 years later, I was had a whole list of disappointments. Whole list of discontentments of things that hadn't come to pass, prophecies that hadn't been fulfilled. And I realized that I'd lost something. I realized. And I realize, even as I recall this story, that I was so content in those early days as a believer. I was so content. Paul discovered the secret of being content. And I'm going to reread one more time, 1 Timothy 6:6. And I don't want to read it in the Amplified Version. He says, "Godliness actually is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That contentment which comes from a sense of inner confidence based on the sufficiency of God." Based on the sufficiency of God. God is our sufficiency. Paul said, this is how I've learned to be content, because it's based on the sufficiency of God. When I have got God, I have got everything. When I have Jesus, Jesus is my sufficient one. And I believe today God wants to bring many of us back to that place, being reset, recalibrated, and recognizing that when we have Jesus, we have every reason to be content in Jesus' name. And so in this season, we need to become better acquainted with our salvation and better acquainted with our Savior.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.